figure out what Tom Brady was doing. The tail end of the game last night between the Bucks and the Saints, he was trying to high-five the ref.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Kind of awkward.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know, as awkward as Michael Thomas getting zero touches in that game.
You got to find a way to get that dude the ball.
You know, I'm a numbers guy. I like some crazy stats. Now, I'm not going to be all Chiefs homer here. I had to stop when I heard that the Chiefs have led in 60 straight games. 60 straight games. And they have won 15 straight games against teams that are 500 or better. Those are two amazing stats. But they are not the team that I have the most faith in to make it to the Super Bowl. I think it's Green Bay. George, you should be extremely happy.
Extremely.
Yes. I mean, really, really happy. Matt LaFleur is 26-6 as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and he's been to two straight NFC championships. Mm-hmm. I like people that have passion. I like people that I can see from afar or next to that really, really enjoy themselves and they have fun with what they're doing or the people they're around. Mm-hmm. There is no denying that if you go back to last year, you know, and at this time last year, going to San Francisco, you probably were not very confident at all.
Oh, no.
You were like,
happy to be here, getting blessed.
And maybe in mid-November of this year, you were like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, that changed. This is a really, really good Packer team. It's not only Aaron Rodgers playing an extremely high level. That offensive line did an amazing job protecting him against the Rams' defensive line. Now, Aaron Donald was not 100%. That's a loss for all of us in football because he's the best of the best in the game of football. But they scored on the first five possessions. You're missing one of your better if not one of the better offensive linemen in the NFL. You've got Aaron Jones is carrying. Aaron Rodgers is making wide receivers better. But the thing that I would be very scared if I were the Buccaneers, amongst many things, going to Lambeau where the weather is going to be an issue, is Aaron Rodgers looks like he's having fun. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is smiling. He's got that smirk on his face. He's savage in his post-game comments. He's having fun. I like to watch competitors at the high level that it's a business, but it's also fun. And Aaron Rodgers is having a lot of fun. I mean, what they're doing is very surgical. The way they carved up the Rams at the beginning of that game, that's surgical. The Chiefs' opening drive yesterday against the Browns, that was surgical. But right now, Aaron Rodgers is in complete command and no one's bringing up Jordan Love. And he has elevated people around him. I have more faith than any of the other three teams that Green Bay will be going to the Super Bowl. That they will win on Sunday. I'm not jinxing you or anything. This is how I truly feel. That they will win and they will go on to the Super Bowl. So get ready. You ready to enjoy? You ready to buy that T-shirt?
I literally have money already put aside.
Another amazing little nugget is that this will be the first time that they've hosted.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And again, weather could be a factor. It could be 24 degrees and snow. You know, Brady is used to playing in the cold weather, but, you know, Tampa hasn't played a lot of cold weather games this season. There's always been that stat with Tampa Bay and Miami that when they play in cold weather, I'm not all in on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay beat an XFL quarterback, and then they beat the Saints in one of the worst performances, if not the worst performance in the playoffs ever by Drew Brees. I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. That's why I feel very confident about Green Bay making it to the Super Bowl. Of the four teams, Green Bay is the team that I'm the most confident in.
Yeah, and a lot of people are looking at the earlier game in the season between the Bucks and the Packers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, if there's anything you want to put a chip on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder, he's got a bad taste in his mouth about that game. He wants to come out and he wants to prove the fact that, hey, that was just a fluke. This is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
That is the first game on Sunday. The second game at 5:40 is the Bills and the Chiefs, which I think will be highly competitive. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is going to play. Just stop trying to debate. Well, how long will it be? There's a nerve in the back of your neck. Boom, he got bumped there. He blacked out. You saw the result. I think they labeled it as a concussion, probably not a true concussion compared to concussions in the NFL. He's going to be fine. Bring him back on the field. say stand in the end zone and throw the football out of the stadium. If you can do that, you're back. You're playing this weekend. Let's don't kid ourselves. He's going to play. The NFL, though, to its credit, you had Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Both were held out of the game due to concussion protocol. That's at least a start. If you're into the safety of players and sometimes how that gets overlooked. All right, Mike Schaefer is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Welcome back in on this Monday edition on Martin Luther King Jr. Day on the Gary Sharp Show. Also, Mark Manning will join us. There is news in college football, not concerning Nebraska yet. Justin Fields has decided that he is going to go to the NFL. Not a surprise. Today is the last day to opt into the NFL draft, which will be not usual once again. We will not be having the combine in Indianapolis. But Justin Fields, who will be a first-round NFL quarterback, says that he is going into the draft. Trey Sermon, last night I noticed he said he's in. Ohio State's had a couple of key players, linemen, that have decided to come back. Now, the other big news in college football today will originate out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Tennessee, after the year was over, and Tennessee got off to a good start. Jeremy Pruitt, feeling pretty good in Knoxville. Got things turned around. He was recruiting at a high level, and then the bottom fell out. I mean, it poof, hit the ground. And then as the season ended, there were rumors of an investigation going on surrounding the Tennessee football program. Multiple reports, either from Knoxville or by national writers that cover college football, is that Jeremy Pruitt will be out as the head coach at Tennessee today. Now, here is the follow-up to this, is Philip Fulmer, the championship head football coach at Tennessee, who has been the athletic director, that he may be out as well. I said it last week, interesting hire to bring Kevin Steele on board after he was not retained at Auburn as the defensive coordinator. Kevin Steele is a Tennessee guy. Kevin Steele also can be an interim head coach. If you elect not to go down the road of which many think in Tennessee, that you're going to look at Hugh Freeze. So Jeremy Pruitt looks like he will be out. What will happen to the Tennessee staff? There is a lot of movement in college football, it seems, over the last 48 hours in terms of coaches, assistant coaches. Either coaches are making final decisions on their staff or they are adding to their staff. Keep in mind, as Alabama's staff is being plucked apart and Saban's essentially on the offensive side of the ball is going to have to start over, it's not as worrisome to have to fill staff roles or redo your staff this time of the year. Because most of your recruiting work has already been put in. You've put the majority of your recruiting class to bed back in December. So it's not like it's just one recruiting signing day in February and you're going to scramble as your staff is being plucked. You got some time. But that's a thing to keep an eye on, is there could be a lot of movement going on and what happens with Tennessee. But it looks like Jeremy Pruitt will be officially out as an investigation continues. And I'm sure, well, I'm more than sure, it surrounds some of the stuff in recruiting. Other story yesterday that came out as football got started was Nebraska basketball is on pause. Nebraska basketball may be done for the month of January. They have an outbreak, 12 staff and players, 7 players of those 12, so essentially looking at about 30% of their Tier 1 group has tested positive or they're in quarantine. So Nebraska is done for a while. Their next game would be January 30th against Penn State. Will they have enough players available to play in that game? So you're seeing as the college basketball season unfolds, and we should also add Xavier and UConn are not going to play midweek, so UConn's next game will be in Omaha Saturday afternoon. Some basketball coaches were trumpeting the fact that they had made it through the summer and the lead up to their season with very few positive test results. And then the season unfolded and everything that goes into the season, we are starting to see some of those programs that were good leading up to the start of the season have now been impacted, and Nebraska basketball has been impacted severely. The number one concern, Fred Hoiberg, who tested positive, said he did have some symptoms considering his heart condition. That is of concern, and it's unfortunate for Fred Hoiberg and the rest of the program that they have to go on pause and they will have to take time away. But first and foremost is the health of the head coach. And in a season that seems to be spiraling towards, let's just move on to next year, now this is another challenge for Nebraska and a challenge in college basketball as more and more games are being postponed or canceled. Omaha had two games this past weekend against South Dakota State were canceled. Are you really going to be able to make up some of these games? We're sitting on January 18th. Conference tournaments are still slated to go off in those first couple of weeks of March. Are you going to be able to make up those games? And do you want to make up those games? But then are you making them up where you're playing an abundance of games before you get to your conference tournament? It's going to be a pretty in-depth discussion on what you do to make up these games. If you give, like Penn State has just a ridiculous schedule where it's almost like an NBA schedule where they're playing every other day right now. But in Nebraska's case, the postponed games are starting to add up. The first game that this pause for Nebraska is they will not be playing Minnesota on Wednesday night, which, amazing, that is the first time Minnesota has had a game postponed or canceled this year. There are fewer and fewer of Minnesotas that are left in college basketball. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Mike Schaefer will join us before the hour is done. Lots to discuss with Schaefe. We'll talk more basketball. Creighton over the weekend. I turned away when it was 71-58 with about 7.5 minutes to go. Or when Creighton was up by 13, not 71-58, but when they were up by 13, I was like, okay. Started slow, rebounded. Now they'll just take off. Did not happen, as they were not able to finish. And credit to Butler. Butler hung around. Weird ending to the regulation in terms of the shot clock. But lost by Creighton on the road at Butler. Now they come home. They get Providence on Wednesday, and they get UConn on Saturday. We've talked about how you're not able to review a helmet-to-helmet in the NFL. Not being able to review the shot clock violation at the end of regulation was kind of a mystery at Hinkle Fieldhouse the other day. But what has happened to Creighton in that building has been a mystery over the last few years. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.